Hello, everybody. It's the Noise Cancelling Podcast, where you talk about technology and try and sound knowledgeable. And I try and be a little bit more, I was about to say hearable. That's not even a word, because I've been listening back to myself of late and I'm thinking I'm getting super mumbly. So I'm going to try and be a bit more pronunciative, as a new word I've just made up. But anyway, this is the Noise Cancelling Podcast. It is your chance to find out about the week's tech. We will miss out a lot of important things because we basically just forgot. Who's here with me today?
I'm Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
Hi, I'm Jess Weatherbed. I'm the computing writer for the UK.
I'm James Peckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, also where Jess works as well.
Sorry, yeah.
That's all right. Just in case people are interested in finding out about all the ways they can hear your or read your lovely words. I haven't got my cat here this week, everybody, because Aww. Our producer told me I wasn't allowed her wandering around anymore because apparently it messed up the audio. All he cares about is audio, nothing else, which is essentially his job. So fair play, really. Right, let's talk about things in technology. And as ever, we're going to start with the big question. One of the big stories on Laptop Mag this week, Laptop Mag, as we know, very beautifully run by Sherielle Smith. Ms. Smith 11, that's M-I-S-S Smith 11. And one of the quick things here was about the MacBook Pro 2021 could be bringing back these dearly missed ports. Which ports are they, Cherie?
We are talking HDMI, and we are also talking about a full SD card reader.
And it's a funny one to say they're dearly missed, because on most laptops, you know, Windows laptops, they're still there quite happily. But in MacBooks, obviously, we're now in the place where Apple's just getting rid of everything that it can do. But our big question this week in response to that is, what piece of defunct technology would you like to see return? I'm going to start with Jess, because she looked away from the camera just so saying, who should I go to? So instantly drew me towards you.
I was hoping that would be a really good distraction tactic. This is really sad. I really miss the iToy games from the old PlayStation consoles, where you would actually have yourself on video, going off of the vibe of when you used to have Game Boy cameras and just utterly pointless video recording tech for games consoles, where you could see yourself on the screen. Yeah, and it would look awful, but those games were so much more fun. I think that should make a comeback, like some classic iToy ports to the new gen consoles.
Is that not the same as Microsoft Kinect, but just worse?
Well, yeah, essentially. But I don't know. Those games had a whole culture in on themselves. You go around to your mate's house, get really hyped up on sugary drinks and play iToy for 4 hours. And I want to relive those memories as someone rapidly approaching 30.
But you still get hyped up on sugary drinks.
It's an age thing there.
Well, yeah, but then I could do so with iToy. You know, it's as close as I get to nostalgia for retro games.
Okay. Well, Pexy's reaction tells me that's a strong opener. So, Cherie, before we get to Cherie's probably excellent answer, the Game Boy camera, such a bad idea. I wanted it to be brilliant, but, you know, now we've seen mobile phones can take pictures, you know, just shows that it was just so... It's way too early. Nobody wanted monochrome pictures of themselves on their Game Boy.
See, I told James something the other day, actually, where I saw a video had used a Game Boy camera in conjunction with a couple of other bits of retro tech. I think his SNES and a Game Boy camera reader to make that his default zoom camera.
Well, that's just cool.
Yeah, which is really cool. It's the only interesting use for a Game Boy camera I think you'd have now, other than to have it on a shelf. But just to, you know, wind people up and record yourself in all of your Zoom calls using a Game Boy camera as your webcam. I think that'd be amazing.
It's taken 28 years for it to become useful. That's how I don't want to say ahead of time. It's not even ahead of its time. It was just wrong. It's like, you know, Nintendo tried really hard to do the Virtua Boy, bring virtual reality into the world. Sounded amazing, but just didn't deliver on the promise. And now I'm just still angry about it again, 35 years later for that one.
We're only 5 minutes in. You're already talking about how you hate VR.
Yeah, and I Cherie.
The sensible answer is audio jacks on smartphones, because not everyone wants to use a wireless pair of headphones or earbuds. So that's the sensible answer. The non-sensible answer is the PlayStation Vita. I still love that thing. I still think it was way ahead of its time. And with a few tweaks, it could fit right into this current state of affairs, namely, don't charge $99 for extra storage. Put more games on it, and at this point, I would want it to have an OLED display, and I guess I could live. I guess I could live with a Qualcomm 888, or maybe a if they're feeling froggy, a Core i3.
What now?
processors. Like you gotta have serious power to match. Like the Vita of yesteryear needs a few updates to make it feasible for now. But I still think it was very much ahead of its time. I think Sony was on to something. They just priced it out of the market. They just priced it out of consumers' pockets, and they didn't give the support that it needed, which is kind of like low-key, kind of happens to a lot of PlayStation peripherals. Like what, like the PlayStation Eye, the Move controllers. Oh God, there was a bunch of stuff that PlayStation would like, yeah, this, and then it was never heard from again.
I literally went to check my audio settings on something for about a second. I came back and then you started talking about processors. I thought I'd completely I'd missed, you know, kind of half an hour of chat. If I was like, what's happened? Oh, okay, processors to do with Vita. I think that I agree with you. The Vita was well ahead of its time, but just again done wrong. It's all the same thing. And one of my favorite things about the Vita is nothing to do with PlayStation, but the ex-editor of Tech Radar and I went to a football match that were involving the team that he very much follows and loves in a very important game, and they won. And in the jubilation of jumping around of how happy he was, he just jumped all over his Vita and smashed it to pieces. And you know, but he was genuine. He was obviously distraught, but equally his euphoria was just enough to outbalance it. He's like, eh, fine, but you know, still the depths of despair as well. But yeah, it was a beautiful moment where we both realized what had happened. But it was like, are you sad? Just about no is the answer. So that's my pervading memory of the PS Vita. Pexy, what about you?
I'm sorry, I've gone for another gaming one. We've got three gaming answers. I want Guitar Hero back. I want those Guitar Hero. there we go. I want the guitars back for PlayStation 5 generation, please, and brand new games with actual music from today. And that's essentially what I want, and I need it now.
Did you ever do the full band?
No, I've never even tried out drums or anything on Rock Band. I just always had Guitar Hero myself, and none of my mates, everyone always just went for the guitars. So I've never even tried out those terrible looking drums.
They were well good.
SingStar was equally good. I was a big theatre kid at school, and I am a terrible singer, but they're so easy to get like 100% scores on those games just by making random noises. I probably go back to memories. Well, no, you'd like sing, but you didn't have to be a good singer to like nail that game. You could be a terrible singer as long as you got all the tones right. And probably the memories of me being, again, a teenager at various house parties with a lot of other very loud theatre kids just drunkenly singing into SingStar on the Wii until like 2 a.m. I'm surprised like all of my friends' parents don't hate me at this point, because I was usually the instigator of that. All of those music games should make a massive resurgence.
Have you checked? They don't hate you?
I don't want to know. I'm quite happy living in ignorance. It breaks the magic, because I know that they're all very, very honest and very blunt. So they would just tell me.
So there was somebody, I'm talking about more people I used to work with, someone who used to work on Tech Radar. I'll be honest, they did their best, but they clearly thought themselves quite a good singer. They did their very best.
Everyone thinks they can sing the way that everyone thinks they can write. It's
I am
not
a great
true.
Writer, though, Cherie. So
I'm not gonna touch that, because I feel like you're setting me up for a trap.
I'm not.
But on that note, I would like the DJ. I would love DJ Hero to come back. I could never get into Guitar Hero or Rock Band, but I was all about DJ Hero. I still have the peripheral and everything.
Have you played Fuser?
I hadn't finished my story about the fact that said person that was in believed himself to be quite a good singer, and went to an event I can't remember which one it was. It was something SingStar, I think. It was Lips, the Microsoft one, wherever that was. And outsang the Sugar Babes. They got a higher score than the Sugar Babes on a game. For American listeners, Sugar Babes were a girl group in the UK in the noughties, very popular. And that was very much a claim to fame that person had for quite some time.
Was it a Sugar Babe song?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Right. It would have been much better if it was their own song and it wasn't just like a completely different voice.
I never checked. Yeah. Yeah, it could have been like Linkin Park or something. I don't know. But DJ Hero is amazing. But then what was the game that we played in the office for ages with the cards?
It's called Drop Mix, and then they've done another game since Drop called Mix. Fuser.
Yeah, Fuser's like the spiritual successor to DJ Hero.
But Drop Mix was I genuinely, you know, like I think the same with lots of people who play Guitar Hero and Rock Band and everything. There comes a point when you're doing well at it, like am I talented? You know, when you put in like I put like a new card down, and I'm like different drop, and I'm like, oh, that sounded quite good. Am I good at this? And then you think, you know, about an hour later, you go, no, I just the machine did all of the work and made me feel good about myself. But I can't, there must have been at least, I don't know, 100 people that started a band based on playing Guitar Hero because they thought they were good enough.
Definitely.
Like, started something. Points-wise, I feel like, Jess, you're going to take it just because of Pexy's reaction. So well done. Well done to you. And speaking of Jess, as our newest guest, you're entering the Gadget Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I had a little bit more prep time for this podcast rather than like a half hour thing that I got last time. I've tried to find the name for these everywhere. So there's a Kickstarter going at the minute for digital LED D&D dice, which is a really niche thing. They're called Pixels.
You didn't need to explain that. We know it's a really niche thing.
They look cool. Do look them up. We've ordered them, myself and my partner, but obviously they haven't arrived yet because it's a Kickstarter backer. But what we have found in the box of bits of tech lost to time that we have under the bed is two LED D6s that, if I can get one of them to work.
Great for an audio podcast.
Oh, they're not going to work now.
Yeah, we can hear noise.
Ooh.
They are completely useless. They do make some very loud noise. I'm trying to get one actually quite close to the mic just so people can...
That's a better audio feature.
Yeah. They're just like these little cylindrical LED dice that are completely pointless. You have to smack them on the table and then the LEDs will illuminate what number you get from 1 to 6.
You can just Google dice roll, I found out, and it'll do all different kinds of dice for you.
Yeah. Oh, you can get your smart speaker to do it as well. So yeah, they're completely obsolete. You would have no reason to do it, but I can't find any trace of these existing everywhere. So they could have come from like a Christmas cracker, for all I know. Like just included in a kid's party bag like 15 years ago. We were literally going through like bits of tech from 10-15 years ago that I'm far too young to remember, like Bluetooth dongles for PCs, and these were just found at the bottom of a box. I thought, yep, that's it. I like that.
They're not that old, Jeff. No, like most PCs needed Bluetooth dongles because they didn't have it built in.
Just because I knew it would kind of wind you up is I bought one because this kind of causes, not fights, it causes a lot of frustration.
You need to describe it to the listeners, because right now you're showing me a, I don't know what it is, a dongle with a penis.
Yeah, this is, it is a bit phallic, fair enough.
A tail, really. Let's call it a tail. That's probably
an antenna. I thought this was a wireless dongle, a flash drive, whatever. It looks like a flash drive or a USB stick, as we'd call it in the UK. And it's got a little aerial attachment to it. And I initially thought that this was so that you could have Bluetooth on your older laptop devices. But it turns out I didn't even realize that computers didn't originally come with Bluetooth. Not originally, but you know what I mean. I don't remember PCs not having Bluetooth connectivity. And this is a connector that allows you to connect things to your PC via Bluetooth, which completely blew my mind and really upset my partner. Because I was just like, oh wow, that belongs in a museum, that's so interesting, that must have been like ages ago. And you, like, he's there just having like a little bit of an internal meltdown going, no,
I still find mine. I'm like, I should use this because this took me a while to get this device, so I should probably use this even though it's built into everything now. Okay, well, thanks, Jess. So is that going in the gadget, is that the one you're bringing in, or is it the dice?
I want the dice because I think they're just so weird. I prefer these to go in the gadget hall.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't actually worked out the rules of this section, whether everything has to go in. And if it does, I'm just going to put them next to Swider's headphones in the, like if they're in the area that I feel like if there was a fire, they would get hit first. So else behind a fire door, they can go there just like kind of like a sacrifice to the gods of
Hades. I mean, judging by the sounds that one of us making, this would probably be responsible for starting said fire. It's got that really haunting kind of like early 2000 noise where the battery's slightly dying on one of them, and rather having a lovely crisp kind of a beep 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 noise, it's going beep.
We've got like a quite a cheap, I say cheap only in comparison to Ivo, it was quite expensive, like robot dog that its batteries are running out, and it's heartbreaking. It's like and it moves very slowly, and I don't know. I feel like I've got to disable it in some way just to make it stop upsetting me so much. It's also really annoying when it does make noise. So there you go. Right, let's talk about actual news this week. PlayStation VR 2. That's a biggie. That's quite exciting, isn't it?
It is, especially since, you know, when PlayStation 5 came out, they were like, yeah, you can use PSVR. You got to get an adapter for it. We'll give it to you for free. So, like, that was actually very nice by Sony. Shouts to them for that. But now that we are in the new next-gen generation, we are looking at a new PSVR. And this will not need as many connectors to use it. Apparently, it'll apparently use one cord, which for PlayStation, that's a big step up. It still isn't matching what Oculus and Vive are doing with no cables. Like, look, Ma, no wires. But it's a start, and like other details haven't really been released yet as far as field of view and display resolution and all of that good stuff. So there's a lot up in the air, but I am excited to see that PlayStation is still dedicated to virtual reality, because I really, 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 even though I do want to play Resident Evil Village in VR.
You do, you know,
I,
you do,
but I
you
just do, can't bring but I don't, but I do. Like, it, like it's just like yes. No. Yes.
I know. I mean, as we've already noted, I do love VR. I do believe in it. It's just still, when's it coming? It's the constant refrain. And I think the PSVR, it was still like up there with one of the best experiences. Was just Batman: Arkham Asylum, where you could just like, you were just Batman. Like, you looked in the mirror and you moved your hands around, you're like, basically Batman, this is brilliant. And that was enough for me. So if PlayStation is doubling down on this with PS5, oh, it could be good. It could be really good. It won't be, but it could be really good.
I entirely kind of foresee it just becoming a dedicated Beat Saber machine, at least for me, both of people like me. But I don't have the history of playing a lot of VR games, because I get ocular migraines, so I'm not really the demographic. But from what I have played, I've played at expos where you have like Iron Man Simulator and the Batman Arkham Asylum one. It is pretty cool.
There's a line to be crossed of just feeling that much more immersive. And I still feel like, saying it for years, it's just around the corner. So, you know, the PSVR, the original one, one of the real benefits was that it was just, you had the machine already, and it was just this quite expensive upgrade, but you didn't need to go and get a dedicated PC or set up towers or what have you. And hopefully this way, this time around, it can be better. That's my belief, my hope. Come on, PlayStation. I haven't got a PS5, admittedly, so this is all kind of moot, but still, I want the world to have the same love that I have.
You might be able to buy one by the time the PSVR 2 is out.
I've already bought one. Told you.
It's easy, isn't it?
And I saved a child's Christmas, so, you know, aww, it was a wonderful moment. You know, there's a child out there who had genuinely given up on the belief that he's going to get a PlayStation, and now he has one. So I feel great about it. I haven't touched a PS4 since Christmas, so it was the right decision.
Poor neglected machine.
Yeah, it's very dusty. I don't know, people say that gathering dust. It's not like it moves when you play it, so it's not like it wouldn't be dusty anyway. But yeah, there you go. So hopefully PS5 or the PSVR2 will be the star of the show for PS5. And speaking of stars, let's talk about Disney Plus. Now it's got Disney Star Pexy. This feels like a massive upgrade, according to last week's podcast guest Samuel Roberts, entertainment editor for Tech Radar. Is it? Because I've looked at what's on there. Seems a bit shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of old stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I've watched most of the stuff I want to watch.
We should preface this that this is a UK only service, so if you're in the US, you may already have some of this, and you'll probably find most of the things I'm going to mention on other services. But yeah, brings the likes of 24, Lost, all the TV shows of the early noughties that you really wanted to watch.
I saved Lost. Like, it was one of the greatest achievements in my life to not find out what happened in Lost, and I eventually started watching it. And that was about 5 years ago, and that felt like just far too late. Like, who's going to go? I mean, spoiler, Lost is shit. So don't, you know, who's going to go back and rewatch? I mean, the first few series are fine, but then it just got really bad.
Me,
and then
I love
who's
going
to go back and rewatch it?
Me?
I mean, yeah, you're kind of ruining this as I've never seen it. I've not seen a single episode. The only thing I know about Lost is apparently there's something to do with a polar bear, and that's it.
Yeah.
And there's an island. I again, very, very base knowledge here, but yeah, shows this is like Lost first completely out of my head.
Yeah, the island's quite important, as in, like, if they crash landed on a mainland, I think it'd be quite an easy escape. You know, as a base principle, they're like, oh, you crash landed, you know, near New York. Like, all right, cool, just go over there and get home, probably. Cool. Yep. No need for black mist. But I mean, yeah, in America, they've got Hulu as part of the Disney Plus subscription. In the UK, we're getting Star. But yeah, it just seems a bit, I don't know. I'm sure there is some good stuff in there. And I like the fact, I you know, it's upgraded now. And finally, there's a prompt to have different age profiles. Because I tell you, having a six-year-old and trying to find a kid's film that isn't accidentally too mature, it's a nightmare. You know, the amount of like, oh, this, you keep clicking through, like, no, it says 12 plus. No, back to the drawing board again. Like, how bad is Home Alone? You really think it through. You're like, actually, no, that's not a staple for a young child. And, you know, in these things, now it's actually got the ability to like do it just a kid's section. So much better. So that is good, but that's nothing to do with Star.
What makes Home Alone not safe for a six-year-old? Genuine question.
The violence?
I mean, the violence. Their parents just leaving them. You know, as a six-year-old, as a notion, it's quite traumatic. You're like, one day you could wake up and your parents just aren't there.
Yeah, he does love it.
Yeah, he does. But I mean, like, you realize when you're watching films with a child that they very much take things on a very different level to, like, you can just be like, ah, it's fine, whatever. They're like, wait, what? That you could just not hear one morning. That's awful. And then you realize, hang on, they probably shouldn't be exposed to that. Yeah, lots of parts of it within the, you know, if you start watching within the first 20 minutes, go, oh, actually, no, I remember this a lot more fondly as an adult.
I think that has to do with the 70s and 80s and a little bit of the 90s. Really didn't care about kids' psyches because
Willy Wonka.
Oh my God, still one of my favorite movies. I was rocking with it when I was a kid. Like that scene where they're going down the tunnel real fast and it's just getting real psych. All about it. Like I grew up watching the Toxic Avenger. Yep. Like there's a scene like that. That movie is ultra violent, and the hero is this mutated mess of a man. As our generation got older, we got a little wiser. It's like maybe we shouldn't expose kids to this. Maybe. maybe it's not for a good development. Like my generation grew up on Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes and all types of violence and
racism, don't forget as well, just in there.
Oh man, the racism, that racism was just a chef's kiss. Like wow, when you look back at it, you're like, dear God, which is why I'm sad that they put that racism in the vault. They need to let that shit out. Put a slap a disclaimer on it, like this is what this is how bad we were. Look how far we've come. We still got a ways to go, but wow, man, wow.
They've done that with the Muppets, haven't they?
Have they?
This week they've done that with the Muppets this week. For example,
like 13 episodes.
There's a clip. One of the clips is Johnny Cash performing in front of a Confederate flag, for example. So that's now got a disclaimer. It's got a disclaimer at the start of it, which I personally think is the right option to still have those episodes available, but with a very clear disclaimer at the start.
This is getting now. We've just gone from like absolute frippery to seriousness. But I completely agree that there's. This should be at least a choice on these kind of things. However, just putting a disclaimer on the front of something, you know, you go, oh, okay, fine, and you're basically just watching to see where the bad bit is. You know, that's what comes through because you're looking through and going, like, okay, I've misremembered this. Perhaps if you've seen it before, or you're just wondering to see like what cultural changes have happened. And I feel like when it's part of the series, especially, it just sort of like blends into that series as just like a slight aberration. What I think they should do is have like a separate section, almost like you have for documentaries, where you can view it from a much more like critical angle and see. So you know, it's an educative kind of piece rather than just a kind of, we were going to get rid of this one, but actually we changed our minds and just decided to put a disclaimer on the front. A very good reason, but I feel like it doesn't do enough to make you put you in a different mindset of like you're watching this from a very different perspective now, not just enjoyment, but actually from an understanding of how things have changed.
Because I do yearn, I have a dream that Disney will one day let Songs of the South out of the vault and just let it rock. Like every now and then it pops up on YouTube and you got to be quick before Disney catches on. But dear God, the racism, could racism get more racism-er? I have no idea. But I think it's a learning I think these should be, I agree, they should be used as learning tools. Like, I do agree that that ride in either world or land should be rightfully repurposed into the Princess and the Frog ride.
Splash Mountain.
Yes. Because but I don't think that when you hide things like that, you're doomed to repeat it. Like, we should, like, we need to acknowledge, like, listen, society, it wasn't as forward thinking as we are now. And yeah, like, look at the progress we've made and recognize that there's still progress to go. But I absolutely think that we shouldn't hide those things. Like, yeah, put them in the museum, put the right disclaimers on there, give it the critical thinking that it needs, but don't hide it.
And also, like, because by doing that, it explains not just that, you know, that when it was in its context previously, that it was just accepted. And that's the point, that, you know, that to get yourself into that mindset of, like, this was seen as okay. And that's like, and now that we've changed, and even in just having that kind of that mental comparison, it helps you realize that there's things can happen, things can change, and things can move forwards. And yeah, I don't know how we've ended up down this route, but I like it.
It's yay! Nice.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe there should be a section in the Gadget Hall of Fame for this as well, where we can just replay this bit as a section. You know, one of those kind of, you know, when you go to the museum trips and there's an interactive bit, there's probably one of the better bits of the talks. It was like there was something playing, usually in our, sorry Jess, but in our day, where there was like an old CRT TV that used to have it. You'd obviously have your holograms or whatever you had on your school trips.
Me and Pexy are actually the same age. I would like to point that out. I just apparently have really terrible memory retention, but I do remember having a CRT TV.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I was only just ripping back with the whole Bluetooth dongle debacle, but okay. I mean, Pexy doesn't talk fondly about his childhood in the same way, you see, that's the thing. Maybe he just didn't go to Wii SingStar parties.
This is why I got excited about the iToy, perfect for our age group.
I fully just thought you just had one at whatever age you were. Just like, yeah. Just bought it, you know, last year. Fine, not a problem. That's the state of play for us. But PlayStation's also doing one. The state of play is coming on the 25th of February, which is yesterday, if you're listening to this recording, let's be honest. So we're going to tell you what we want to see. You'll be able to know what happened in this confusing time-traveling moment. So what do we want to see? I'm going to go to you, Cherie, because... you know, you've moved where you are recording from, and your background is now so much more interesting with things to look at.
Things I want to see. I definitely want God of War Ragnarok. I need it. I need to see more of it. I need to see actual gameplay. I don't need to see any of the big bads yet, but I just need to see at least some interaction between Kratos and Atreus. Let's see what else. I'm open for surprises, but Horizon Forbidden West. I need more Aloy. I need all of that. So those two games are what I'm really excited for. I know that they have some PS4 games still coming. I don't know why. But above those two, everything else is just cherries on the ice cream sundae. If I don't have those two, I will be upset.
Okay, good. I mean, I just only found out what Ragnarok was by Googling it, because I thought, hang on a minute, I know that that was a Thor title, and I know that there was a TV show called Ragnarok, and then there's the God of War, and I was like, what is it? And it turns out it's the Great War that was foretold to see the end of Odin, Thor, Loki and others, submerge the world in water, and then it return anew with fertility and joy.
It's a representation of an endless cycle of life and death. There's a really good book. It's not by Neil Gaiman, but he's kind of like rewritten it essentially to go through all of the Norse god stories that are actually listenable and not just, I don't know, ye olde language. And it's well worth listening to if you get the audiobook for that on Audible. You know, just a shout out for that.
Good. Okay. Thank you. I'm just pleased I've learned something today, and now our listeners hopefully have as well. Pexy, are you excited for this?
Yeah, I'm similar boat. Where
are you? Because you sounded very much like you weren't.
I'm genuinely excited about Ragnarok. The reason I'm a bit down on that is I'm convinced they're going to delay it. I'm convinced it's
Don't
not going to be coming out this
Don't
year.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that to me. I need this.
Yeah, we all need this. That's the thing. We all want games that are coming out soon. And the Nintendo Direct from last week also proved that as well, didn't it? Where there just don't really seem to be that many games coming out this year. So what I'm really hoping for is just games that are going to be coming out soon, games you can play on the PS5 soon, even if that's indie titles, smaller things. I just want some stuff that's got a release date sooner rather than later, essentially, especially after the COVID boredom of the last year. I've played a lot of video games and I'm running out.
I've played so few, I can't believe it. Like I said, the dust. Jess, talking about other things that are happening to tell people about games, BlizzCon, Nintendo Direct. What's going on with all of this?
It kind of ties in with, I suppose, what the Nintendo stuff was, that it's a whole bunch of remakes, really, which...
Give us some context about what's happened for those of us who haven't fully followed. I have, obviously, it's my job. Don't listen to this, boss.
Clearly.
For the entirety of BlizzCon?
Just like, you know, what's BlizzCon? And what's Nintendo Direct, you know?
Okay, like different games, companies or like producers will go through their own events now. It used to be that you just rock up at E3, which was kind of a communal event for everyone. You'd be able to see everything. But over the past few years, places like Nintendo, companies like Nintendo and Blizzard have kind of had their own little cool thing going on to exclusively show what they have to offer. BlizzCon was all done online this year.
Yeah, I know.
You've learned a lot today, Gareth.
I know about this. I knew BlizzCon 21. Big time. Diablo.
Diablo. Yeah. Well, they released a couple of like little niblets to do with Diablo 4 again, which they were very open in the fact that they're not actually going to be releasing the game or the other big title that everyone's getting excited about, which is Overwatch 2. They're not coming in 2021. They were very blunt about that. So we found out that they're reintroducing the Rogue class, which is something that we've previously seen, I guess. I sound a little bit disheartened by it because I watched BlizzCon and it's some really cool stuff. Like they announced the latest expansion or mini expansion, I should say, for the Shadowlands expansion itself for World of Warcraft. There was a couple of other little bits, but most of what they were actually shouting about was old content that's being reintroduced. So they had stuff for Hearthstone and WoW Classic.
And also there was the Blizzard Arcade Collection.
Yeah, which, again, not to play the age thing, I really don't know anything about the classic arcade games from Blizzard.
Rock and Roll Racing! Rock and Roll Racing's in it. You know, not me, but I know people who have played that game on an emulator many, many times because it's just so flipping amazing. I can't wait for that to come back. That's exciting. You know, it's almost like I'm hearing about it for the first time right now. it's almost like someone just Googled something, but not me.
I agree with James massively that I just really want some new games. So I think going through the Blizzard and in turn the Nintendo release, there was a couple of exciting bits in there that I've got to look forward to. But it's that very much a, here's what's coming, but not soon. There is that running joke that Blizzard has that like something is coming Blizzard soon when they announce it's coming soon, but don't actually give you a date. And that coming soon could be anything. It could be months. It could be years. So,
but not Blizzard Arcade Collection, which is out now on the PS4, which I have downstairs.
I don't know why you're sitting there acting excited like you're actually going to turn on that poor PlayStation 4.
It's going to get significantly more dusty before you actually go downstairs and play any of it.
Yeah, I've got to remember my login. Anyway, sorry.
No, I was just going to kind of lament about the community events being in person, really, that I'm kind of sad that after all of the, obviously, like all the lockdowns this year have been very understandable, but a lot of these events were very community led. So Blizzard had BlizzCon as more of a kind of get together for fans rather than a releasing of game information. That's what it turned into. It just became a space where they would release all of the patches and updates to expect across their game catalogue. But it used to be that you would meet with other Blizzard game fans in person, really rock out. So everything being digital year is kind of sprinkled with a little bit of sadness, I guess.
But it's funny when you said that, you know, when you sort of see on TV and you watched any programme where people like touch or sit near each other or, you know, things that were filmed about a year and a half ago. And you go, and part of you recalls like, oh, what are they doing? Oh, okay, yeah, that was allowed. When you mentioned BlizzCon, I just instantly, you know, all those conventions, you think about like, I'm going to get sick from that because it's just a natural thing where they're just, everyone's touching everything and just walking around in tight spaces. And that plus you know, the COVID situation just gave me like a double like recoil of like, ah! And then, oh no, it's all right. You know, that's just not happening. But it just, the idea of it is just such a high level fear now.
Have you ever gotten sick at a convention? Well, after?
No, not me. I'm amazing. But a lot of people have.
Huh. Neither have I.
Actually, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I definitely
MWC.
Have. Yeah. There's loads of people that just, when your immune system's low and you're surrounded by people in air-conned rooms, yeah, I get sick real easy in that way.
Yeah, a lot of people come back from E3, our gaming team, not feeling very well at all.
Interesting.
Maybe it's just because we're amazing. Maybe that's how you become editor-in-chief. You know, there's some kind of innate relatability to it, your immune system.
That, and I roll with a lot of hand sanity because I love us as a people, we fellow geeks, but some of us don't have the most stringent hygiene.
I mean, that probably was it. You know, now we know about COVID, like, it probably was just keeping your hands clean. I never did that because, you know, who'd have hand sanitizer, losers? Till now, I've got like 5 bottles, including one that smells like my great aunt.
Oh.
It's got like an aloe vera smell, and I realize it's very similar to her perfume. It's a really confusing time when I'm wearing it. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah.
Nasal memory.
Yeah, nasal memory.
I think the hygiene kind of bar for several geek communities was pretty much on the floor anyway. So, like, yeah. I kind of repress the memories of going to those conventions, I guess. I didn't ever worry about the hygiene standards. I worried about the heating situation because every event I've ever been to...
All related.
Yeah. Like, the London Excel Centre, when it's packed full of people, like, you're more at risk, I think, of, like, suffering heat stroke and, like, actually suffocating in crowds of people cosplaying in foam armour and everything else.
Yeah. At the wearable show, always a problem.
That is my most regular time of going to the Excel Centre.
Yeah, go to the wearable show, try and find stories.
A little bit different.
Oh, yeah. No, like mine was usually MCM and EGX and all the when you go and you do think, yeah, I can't really expect hygiene from a good proportion. Not everyone, I would like to preface that so I don't get like really horrible emails or anything, but certain communities that do attend those events, you think, you probably don't wash your hands after you go to the loo.
No, I've seen someone like low key digging their nose and then shake someone's hand. I was like,
So how long were you watching this person for? Like, did they do it in front of them, or did you watch them like transition from one space to another?
Like I was sitting off to the side, and I just happened to be people watching, and I just happened to zoom in on that horror. Like I guess I should give them credit because they were kind of nice enough to wipe it off on their shirt before they shook hands with the unsuspecting person. And that is when I knew, like right after I was done with my events, I went and started my hand sanitizer tradition where it is always in my bag because, disgusting.
I did feel initially quite bad actually when the lockdown started because I don't know if anyone remembers the I think global shortage of hand sanitizer that initially happened when everyone started buying it in bulk. Back from my makeup artistry days, you had to sanitize your brushes with pure isopropanol, which is just like the main ingredient of hand sanitizer. So I've got some here, like 5 1-liter bottles of basically pure undiluted hand sanitizer that I was sitting on when everyone was going mad, going, I've been to every CVS and every drugstore and I can't find any. And I was like, yep.
You're on some watch list now for having that anyway.
Probably, yeah. It does look really suspicious, but it is just cleaning alcohol effectively. It's very good for getting grease off of surfaces, but if you mix it with aloe vera gel, like the anti-sun kind of stuff, then hand sanitizer.
Can I ask everyone a question? It's very much tangential to this, nothing to do with tech, and my dad will probably message me about it. You know, if you're in a restaurant and you find a hair in your food, obviously it's not right, it's horrible, but you know, you might get a free meal if you know you complain about it, you know, so that's a plus. Would you lick a chef's head for a free meal?
Wait, what?
So, like, you know, you've got hair in your food. It's obviously disgusting, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. But sometimes you get a comp meal, which is obviously a real bonus, you know, good times. And I thought, how much, you know, if she said, like, do you want a free meal? Yes, you have to lick this chef's head, just lick his hair. Would you do it?
Where are we eating? Because that really matters in this context.
I don't know. Which any restaurant you want?
Probably yes.
Is the chef attractive?
you initially thought no, but you watch him for like a couple of minutes. You're like, actually, I could be persuaded. you know, that kind of attractive. You're like, oh, he's got something.
I mean, yes.
Sherry's really thinking about this. It's not an audio feature, but she's really going for like, would I? I mean, would I do it? Would I save $13?
It doesn't matter really how attractive they are, because you can just close your eyes when you lick the head. And depending on how long their hair is, like they might be bald, they might have long hair and a hairnet.
If they're bald, then this game is obviously not going to happen. In the hypothetical world, I'm not going to give you a bald man.
I'd be more concerned about where the hair came from.
How much is the meal?
$15.95.
No.
In my head, I was going to the Ivy or something. I was like going to get the most expensive dinner I could.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you had said, like, well, yeah, you're having Kobe beef and caviar and some black truffles. Like, yeah, then yes.
That's a rich meal.
Significantly lower than that. I was thinking like 30 quid steak meal or something.
No.
Any meal, like they bring the car machine to you, and then just as they to hold it out, they're like, they put a head in front of you, go, lick this, it's free. Would you be like, go on?
I mean, I've licked other things for less, but.
I think that's okay. What we have to bear in mind, really. Yeah. At least we're doing something this time.
James Peckham, you are on for the news blast.
Oh, God. Straight after that, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was something Jess said earlier. I can't remember the exact wording, but I was like, we're clipping that, and then we don't need to anymore because Cherie's just gone and damn busted it there.
You literally called my Bluetooth dongle a penis. I stayed on it.
I was like describing how it could look. Also, it wasn't a Bluetooth dongle. That's the point.
No, this is a Bluetooth dongle.
I completely misheard what you said. Okay, carry on. Anyway, news blast, 60 seconds. Pexy, you have, as you know, you've played this many times, but for a listener who's just joined, we are trying to get as many news stories into your head as possible. We are a podcast after all. We are efficient. That's useful. So we're going to give Pexy 60 seconds to try and give you the gist of as many stories as possible in that 60 seconds. The only rules are that you must give said gist, and you cannot read from a script. Please listen back 2 episodes ago to Matt Swider not doing that and reading quite clearly from the script that the producer put in front of him.
Every single word.
Even though he'd done the research. Every single word.
You are never going to let that go, are you?
It's because I said don't do it, and he was like, well, I've taken that to mean I should do this. And then afterwards told him, gave him the chance to do it again, because he'd done the research and was like, nah, can't be bothered. So there you go. Right, so you understand the rules, James Peckham?
I do.
Excellent. Good. Well, let's get you going in 3, 2, 1, go.
A new Sonos smart speaker is coming soon. There's an event scheduled for March 9th. Android 12 is rumored to have a feature that will get rid of one of the most annoying smartphone problems. It will mean that your phone auto-rotates depending on how you're laying down, however your face is laying. iOS 14.5 is coming, and it's going to have 200 new emojis in it. Included in that are a new vaccine emoji and the AirPods Pro Max, of course. Samsung Galaxy S21 features are coming to the Galaxy S20 and the Note 20 ranges. Single take mode is getting some upgrades. That's the big one there. Samsung is also having an event on March 2nd where it plans to announce something in the TV space. We don't know exactly what that will be yet, but there will be something coming on March 2nd. One rumor says that the Galaxy Watch 4 from Samsung may switch back to Google's Wear OS software. Previously, Samsung used Wear OS, Android Wear actually, instead, and it switched to Tizen software previously. Apple is said to be working on a MagSafe battery pack, which will mean that you can... Damn it, that was slow. I was really slow there.
Yeah, there's always the.
I get caught.
I know exactly how it feels. Yeah, you start a story and you're like, oh, but I want to tell them. No, I didn't do the important bit. Like, I didn't tell them the bit where I was supposed to say, depending how your face is lying.
Because I was like, I was like, I have not given the context there, but yeah, add in extra words in that account was how my brain worked.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like, you know, Apple rumored to work on a MagSafe battery pack. I mean, that was a good enough story in itself. So you can have seven out of the 60 seconds there. So that's great. And right, on to our final section this week. We've gone around a lot of places today. So I'm enjoying the fact that we're going to just what's going on. What is going on? And today we're asking what's going on about... See, to a lot of people, you know, maybe GPUs, graphics processing units, are not the thing that they care about the most. But there's a really big world out there of mining cryptocurrency, because, you know, everyone's talking about crypto nowadays because it's suddenly gone crazy again. Bitcoin's worth millions, billions, because, you know, Elon Musk and Tesla are buying things and Dogecoin's back and all the stuff in the crypto world that's starting to sort of pervade into everyday life once more. Now, the problem with that is it means that everyone is buying up these GPUs because they can mine this cryptocurrency and make lots of money. And it means people who want the GPUs for their computing gaming situations can't do so because everyone's buying them up to make money. So NVIDIA is trying to solve this problem. Jess, tell us how it's trying to solve this problem.
So this is something that they kind of did before, but with less fanfare, effectively. But they're making a GPU. Yeah, fewer fanfares. They silently did it before. They're doing it with a bit more of a louder bang this time. The upcoming RTX 3060 graphics card is going to be released in a couple of different variations. But one of the things they're doing is they're releasing what they call a crypto mining kind of specific variant. And then in the gaming versions of the card, they're going to reduce the hash rate, which is effectively, like, to boil it really down, it's the effectiveness of crypto mining, how well those cards can crypto mine. They're going to reduce that by 50%. That will hopefully make them less desirable for crypto miners. So there'll be two sets of cards on the market for each respective market, in theory. They haven't kind of given out prices of when we can expect these variants to be released. My issue with it, and I assume Sherry can weigh in on this as well, is that this crypto mining boom has kind of happened before. We saw it with the first generation of the 10K series cards, like the 1080, the 1070, when crypto mining was booming then. And one of the positives that came out of that, when crypto mining came to that end of that era, effectively, is that all of the cards that were being used by miners were resold to a really good price to gamers who couldn't afford one the first time around. So there was like this kind of secondhand new lease of life situation that happened. But with these mining specific GPUs, they're going to be completely unusable for anything other than crypto mining. So when the current boom for crypto mining ceases, realistically, a lot of these things are going to end up in landfill.
Hmm. Ah, Cherie, hot take?
Hot take. Why not just do a better job of making sure that bots and scalpers can't buy up the cards in the first place? Like, this seems like a wasted effort. Like, I appreciate the effort because, like, okay, yes, there are plenty of gamers that cannot get a card because they're being snapped up the minute they're available. And it's like, okay, we've gone through how many years of this and you still haven't found a way to make sure that A, maybe there's a queue, maybe you limit it to two cards per person or whatever it's going to be. We still have, like, I feel like it would take less money and effort to fix that than to use all of these materials that, Jessica's right, are probably going to end up in a landfill, because after the crypto bubble pops again and it sizzles back down, then you got these useless cards, because by the time the bubble starts inflating again, these cards are going to be underpowered and won't be able to do the job. And hence the ugly consumptive cycle, instead of, hey, you know what? Let's fix the software that allows people to buy things, and, like, we'll take less manpower, less energy, less resources. But no, you know, that would mean that we live in convenience land, and apparently we do not live there.
Maybe we should just go back to just, you know, exchanging pebbles for goods. Then all of this goes away as a problem. You know, so much stuff. I mean, difficult right now. We can't see each other, but, you know, contactless is much harder with pebbles, but ultimately makes things a lot simpler. Yeah, that's Gareth's final thought for today, I feel. Pebbles. Let's get rid of cash and put pebbles. We are out of time on this week's Noise Cancelling Podcast. This is episode 53. Last week, or possibly this week, we passed a year of doing this podcast. I'm not sure which one it is. The producer told me to make a big deal of one of those. Forget which one. Let's say it's this one. A year. Yay!
Yay!
But thank you very much for being here, Jess, Pexi, and Cherie. Jess, how can people read more of your work or get in contact with you if they wish to?
You can check out my work on Tech Radar, as I should have pointed out at the beginning of this podcast, or you can also contact me on Twitter. My handle is, I should remember this by hand at this point, it's @zombie_wretch, spelt Zombie, and Wretch, Wretch.
Best joke I've ever come up with, I was thinking about this last night, was what did the undead man call his girlfriend? And it was his zombie. I thought I'd have a date. Yeah, and I was like, I came up by myself. I'm really proud of it. Pexy. You once said that joke. You once said that joke was good as well, so you can't say anything.
I know, I'm laughing. I was genuinely laughing.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, yeah, but not hearty enough for the audio to pick up. So I just wanted to.
I hope they can pick up my groan, because that was a certified groaner.
Like a zombie.
You can find my terrible jokes on Twitter on @JamesRWP. You're just making zombie noises over the top of me now. And yeah, you can also find my writing on TechRadar. Come read phones things, please. Thanks. Bye.
Miss Smith 11, Sheryl Smith.
Yes, as Gareth has graciously walked me into, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. And of course, you need to go to Laptop Mag and read, of course, about laptops and tablets and VR and headsets and all the other things that we are now currently covering. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
Tech Radar's good. Also, you can read lots of stuff on there. Whatever you want.
You really. Clearly just, have this week, Gareth.
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't read all of the BlizzCon stuff, all right? And I'm genuinely really excited about this Rock and Roll Racing situation, as I was last week when I read about it when it happened. I am Gareth T. Beavis. You can find me tweeting at SuperBeav very regularly. And obviously at Tech Radar for all your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter needs. So go to that and enjoy yourself. Please do. It will be a lovely time for all involved. As ever, please subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods. Give us 5 stars on Apple if you feel like you've excited yourself, I was going to say, if you've enjoyed this one and you want to help us get up the charts. So please do that. And we will speak to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.